need to tell you quickly, Iris has an audio description program. We have half-assed part of it because we didn't know better. We didn't do anything in the pandemic. Most of my volunteers were also vulnerable in the pandemic, and there weren't any shows. Bottom line, you've seen our Civic Center that has Hamilton block away. They pay us $300 a show. In our thing, we train for Hamilton or whatever it is, but we always do the Sunday matinee. The listener might not be able to get tickets to the Sunday matinee, or they might have a conflict. Generally, our listeners do try to hit the Sunday matinee because we've trained them, that's when we do it. One of the reasons for that is we have a lot of accessible apartments down here, and we'd rather they come to the matinee than walking around at night. That's just me. So if we have to come to Hamilton more than that Sunday night performance, we don't charge them anymore. The way we look at it is we've done the training and the prep. You know, the equipment's already sitting there. So whether I do one, and also with the understanding that this is just our view.
We discount anything after the first performance.
Yeah, we don't, in our view, not a judgment, it's just more important that we serve as many people as we can. And if this person can't come, like Hadestown was here recently, and we did have three people for the Sunday performance, but somebody couldn't get there, and they called Iris and said, is there any way you can come to Thursday? And I'm like, you bet your ass, because you know what? Our listeners knew that they knew to call me.
Yeah.
And so I will walk through broken glass to serve our listeners for something like this. The audio description team at Iris has been mostly me, just because lots of things fell apart during the pandemic. We're going to rebuild it. We get $300 from that theater right there. They do predominantly Broadway touring shows. We also do the Des Moines Ballet. They haven't really paid us because just in the last few years, so many production companies here like damn near closed. So they give us a dozen tickets. I don't like that model. Because when you give away free tickets, people blow them off. So that's on our listeners. I don't like free tickets because the Des Moines Community Playhouse on the west side of town, they used to give us 10 tickets, nice tickets. And on Iris, we would promote them, and then people would call and we'd give them away. We'd set it up. We had an ambassador waiting at the door to give them their headset. We went through all this work and they didn't freaking show up because the ticket was free. So now they give us four. And now if you don't show up, I mean, within reason, but if you bag on us once, you don't get the free tickets again. You can go to the show and pay for your ticket, but you know, within reason. Like my husband had a heart attack, I'm not coming. But also they know to call me. So it's a conglomeration thing. We've done funerals. I know Jim in Houston does rodeos. I am doing a wedding on the 25th, but she's a former board member and her daughter's getting married and I'm not charging her. Every once in a while, I'm not charging it. But we do Hampshire in Iowa City, and they choose four Broadway-ish shows to do. We do Gallagher, Blue Dorn, and UNI. Every single one of those, $300, except for the small community theater that gives us four free tickets, and they know they should be paying them, me, and I know I should be charging them, but watching them get back on their feet, we decided next season we will write a grant together to get the money. So that's kind of how we do it here. But don't ever, ever, ever just take free tickets from a theater as the only compensation, because that's never a good thing. And then the theater now, the theater that gave us the 10 free tickets and only, you know, three people showed up, that theater could have sold those tickets. And now they have seven empty spots in a row. And a good show and good seats, and that looks bad. So anyway, don't do the free ticket thing. A couple's okay, but don't get in that rut if you start it. I told you about the comedy show. We drew a name, and now I'm super excited. He's been so patient. Jim Obradovich has been sitting back there wanting to talk to you guys. again, my board member, my friend, most of you know him already, and the reason for our fantastic tour of the Capitol, Mr. Jim Obradovich. Do you want a new microphone, Tom, or are you okay?
I'm good. I'm good, thank you. I was talking with Amy, we're gonna have a talk about how we charge for audio description.
Yeah, okay.
All right. We're going to charge more. At least that's the plan. I'm going to, because Lewis has been incredibly, look at him out there, he's slowly heading this way, you know. I'm really gonna shorten this up. I'll be here again tomorrow. If anything sparks any interest whatsoever, find me tomorrow. We're getting near that time as I look at the clock. It's cocktail time. So we need to do our best to stay on and stay on task here. But really, what I wanted to talk about just a little bit is the fact that you know what you do, you know why you do it, you know who you serve, how you serve them, you know the ins and outs of this unique slice of the pie, this unique slice of broadcasting. It's really, it's very unique, and you guys know it. Outside of this small circle that we have here, I don't know how many folks really know about, again, what you do, why you do it, how you do it. And I think what's really important, and what I want to encourage you to do, is when you get back home, try to figure out a way, how do you and how does your organization develop relationships back at home to get that word out about what you do and how you do it and why you do it? Because I think someone who's not exposed, whether it be audio description, whether it be the traditional way of getting newspapers out to you, this is new frontier, and even if it's not something you or your family or friends would use, it's just a fascinating, interesting facet of life that not a lot of folks know about. And I think what will really help as you take a look, maybe a little bit down the line, is how do you build relationships with the folks in the community, either influencers, whether it be through, say, public opinion, or folks who can help you financially, or find volunteers, or just help you out in those times when you really need somebody to give you a hand. Whether it be, I think it could be a mayor, it could be somebody on the city council, it could be a state elected official, it could be your governor, lieutenant governor, you know, if you're located in a capital city. So you're just talking, it could be some folks in a physicians group. Those are the folks who you want to make those connections with. And my thought is, the easiest thing you can do is invite them over to your shop to see what you do. Everybody loves to be invited over to see, and let's face it, broadcast, whether it be as you do it here, or whether it be old-fashioned like Dave Buzik was doing, you know, in TV, it's fascinating, it's exciting. There's meters and knobs and dials, and, you know, and there's lights and all that. And that's just, I think for everybody, that's fun to see. And go walk through and sit them behind a microphone, those kind of things. That helps build those relationships. And why you have them there, maybe get them to read an article. Maybe do a little interview with them. Maybe invite them to come on in and read regularly. You know, and as you do that tour, as you maybe have them read something, you'll start to find out people will begin to open up. It's part of human nature. We love to talk about ourselves and about our family and folks we know. And you will find, I was gonna say it's gonna be inevitable, but that's maybe a little too fine. But I think you'll find that eventually somewhere within maybe one or two, maybe spheres of influence of someone, you'll find somebody who has some sort of vision issue or something that prevents them from holding a newspaper or a book, and that suddenly you've got that connection with them that's more than just, oh, I'm an elected official or I'm somebody influential in the community, or, you know, those kind of, suddenly there's another hook there So it's not just it's not just that friend relationship. There's something a little bit more there that kind of, yes, Lori, that kind of anchors it.
My question is, you know, Des Moines, you guys are great. How do you, statewide, how do you get that influence where you are not physically? Audio Reader's been around 50 years. Everybody in Northeast Kansas, Kansas City knows who we are, but the people in Wichita and the people in Springfield, Missouri, and the people in the areas that we serve but we don't have a physical presence don't know who we are. How do you develop those relationships?
Lori, let me ask, have you ever considered, and hey, do you go down there periodically?
Yeah.
So say, that might be the hook for you as saying, we're going to be in town, or we're going to be there and invite folks over. Hey, do you have a facility? I don't know. Do you have?
We don't have a facility. It's just that we serve that region.
You know what? Lori. There's got to be some. Maybe you can find an optometrist's office. It's some sort of physician's office. Somebody down there where you can say, hey, we're going to be in town. Stop on by to say hi. Invite them over there to have a cup of coffee, to actually see. Or, you know, be in the presence of the folks who you may just see a name, you may just hear a voice, and there's, you know, it's the disembodied voice that I hear coming through this box every so often. Oh my gosh, you know, I got a chance to see Lori in person. But then again, that's so much what makes, that fuels human relationships is the fact it's not just this voice now. Oh my gosh, I've met Lori, and she came all the way here, you know, to Wichita, you know, and she came out here and, oh my gosh, she gave me a call and she invited me over for a cup of, and she bought the cup of coffee. You know, those are the kind of things, Lori, and it may sound simple. And yes, it does sound simple, but sometimes some of the most effective things we can do in building relationships are just the simplest things. And we tend to overlook them. Because I can send you a text or, you know, I can send you an email, and that the actual human contact, you know, these days gets lost, and we've seen over 2 years how they can get lost. And now I think we can take maybe that underappreciated or that value of that and maybe harness it more, especially from our kind of, and I don't mean this as a pejorative, from our selfish kind of view of it. How do we harness that to either create new relationships or build or just rebuild those relationships which we have.
I was just going to say.
Yeah. I feel like Phil Donahue, for those who remember Phil Donahue.
Thank you, Phil. This is Yvonne again. So what I was going to say is that I realized that our narrative was a bit wordy and a bit complicated, and audio and, you know, information service for the blind vision. And so finally I came up with a new way of approaching it, and that became my battle cry. Mm-hmm. And if I said it over and over again, then I knew that that folks were going to talk. Now this is Richmond, it's the capital, but it's small enough so that I can go from meeting to meeting and conference to conference and event to event, and I'm going to see some of the same people. So my battle cry or my adage was, blind and vision impaired folks with disabilities, most of the vast majority of which have lost their vision later in life in terms of our consumers. They were doctors and lawyers and teachers, and they were excellent dish takers and cushioners. Whatever their profession was, they provided value to the community, and that was seen, if you will, before they lost their vision. And now that they've lost their vision, the connection that we recreate, that reconnection, that value flows in both directions, because they still have value. They can still bring that value to the community, and we still need it.
Yeah, and you're able to restore probably what they may not verbalize, but internally felt as my connection with my community, which I served for years, was involved in, was somehow broken. And you've by you repairing that, I mean that is really what you all really do is create those connections and keep those connections going. Okay, this is my cue, I'm going to do this.
Come on, Lewis.
I'm going to do this.
Go away.
There's a phrase, I guess the way I describe whenever I see this group, and then I think about how you expand your sphere of influence and build those relationships is the expertise you have in all of this is authentic expertise. You can tell, you watch on TV, they bring in these experts, and you can tell they don't know, you know, they know, it's a superficial knowledge. Your knowledge is actually authentic knowledge. And my other, the thing I would really implore you to do is make yourselves available as experts. If something would happen news-wise in your community, start to build those relationships, maybe with some of those folks in the news world, because if there's something that may affect maybe some sort of a service when it comes to vision, I'm just thinking whether it be medical, whether just anything, in all the areas which you work in, make yourselves available as the experts, because you actually are authentic experts. So, you know, rather than calling on, you know, Dr. Evans, you know, they call on, you know, they call Beck and say, hey, you know what, I need an expert on how do we, and then all of a sudden they're like, oh yeah, that's Beck, she's an expert. Oh, where is she at now? And you just start to build the fact that in the community, what you know and what we know when we get together is your expertise, and that's because you're the practitioners of this. Just get out in the community. You're the experts, and it gets the name out. It gets your expertise out. It gets, whether it's a quote in the paper or you're on TV, just how do we increase it? And you know what? That kind of breeds those relationships where they know that, well, you know what? I saw, was that Journey on TV, wasn't it? You know what? I'm curious. How can I call? Because I heard about that service. And you just try to put yourself out there as much as you can, but within the area of knowing of what you're an expert in. You know, don't go off there and, you know, start talking about horticulture or something if that's not your thing. I think that's really good. I would suggest, because we're starting to do it a little bit better, I don't know if you have any sort of organizational milestones that you promote. And you know what? To start off, you can create a milestone. You know, just have some sort of, by gosh, you know, we're honoring all our volunteers who have been with us for 20 years. Or it's our 10th year of service, or it's our 5th year. You know, it doesn't matter. But create those milestones and make it an event where, by gosh, the newspaper finds out. And what events that you let them know become more and more attractive for them to cover. Because they might be able to, you know, you could actually send them a photo and they may just cover it over the phone or something. But it's just, how do you get out there to provide them something that, this is coming from an old news guy, that's not a shooting or a car accident or a city council meeting. So, oh my gosh, there's something positive happening in the community.
Becca from Radio Talking Book Service. We are actually going to send press releases out to all of the newspapers we read that include a picture of the person reading their newspaper and a little bit about ourselves. So that way, because we read 16 regional newspapers now, so that'll stretch, like when Lori, when you're trying to stretch from one end to the
other. And what that does is you kind of create this small community, kind of celebrity almost, you know, who may never have been to the community, but they have a following. And Lori, that's what I was thinking. It's just to put the person, put a human being these days with that, it's just, it's irresistible to the human psyche to do that. And I'm just, yes.
Okay, I'm going to say this quick. First of all, raise your hand if when you've talked about what your service does and you're meeting someone for the first time, they respond with, yeah, my uncle was deaf. Anybody?
Yeah. Okay. Don't you get, yeah.
We all get that one, and we learn to
vote. Do you know sign language?
Yeah, do you know sign language?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
So anyway, my tip is...
One of my best friends thinks I work at Radio for the Deaf. I've known her 30 years.
I know. I get that, too.
I actually had people call me on the phone and say it.
Yeah.
Radio
for the Deaf. So one of the best things... one of the best things we ever got was a lobbyist on our board. If you think about it, a lobbyist has to convince people... Oh, hello. A lobbyist has to convince people. They have to... be able to not be smarmy, seriously. Because when you hear lobbyists, you think smarmy. And I think we'd all agree that Jim Owens is not. But they have to be persuasive, they have to be approachable, and they have to be able to make their case. Anyway, nobody does it better.
But one of the things that's a benefit is with Jimmo at the Capitol, he had me set up Iris Day at the Capitol. We brought a laptop, we brought a microphone. We reached out, I sent an email blast while the legislature was in session. Yeah. Jim got me a room, one of the senators whose husband read for Iris in a city, in Mason City. Mm-hmm. She reserved a room for us. And we probably did 5 or 6 that day. But more importantly, we sent out a blast to all the legislators and told them, if you can't make it on this day when we'll be here to do a 20-minute interview with you, you can come to our studios anytime or we can set up something else. So each candidate gets 20 minutes. We talked about cups of coffee. This is having a cup of coffee with a candidate for 20 minutes to get to know them, because our listeners can't drive into town or go to a town hall or something and meet the candidates. We send out a blast. I'll be sending one out after the June primary next week. And it says, it's got an Uncle Sam, and it says, you running for something? And whether it's school board to city council, to legislature, to governor, we invite every single freaking candidate. The libertarians never show up, not one, in my 12 years.
But they're free to.
They are invited.
That would be a very libertarian thing to
you
say.
You come in, nobody I talk that. To Jim Obradovich right. for 20 minutes. We do no politics, zip. We do not talk about your opponent. You are here, so I can ask you, Jim, how did you propose to Kathy? Okay, you disarm them right away. We have a series of questions. But the thing is, your public officials and people who are the, you know, people in Wichita, the people that run your cities and towns, they're also on your Rotary. They're also in your Lions. They're also on, you know, these public service people are involved in other things than public service. And so they can connect you in ways you can't even imagine. So that's what we do.
One last thought was, along with we talked about creating milestones, do you have new technologies? Are you rolling out something different, an extra service? All of those things are incredibly newsworthy. I think that's sometimes when anybody gets involved in what they do for a living, you forget that there's news value to it. And I think having been an old, well, at these days an old anything, but having been an old news person, every so often you just kind of get back into that mindset of, oh, wait a minute, what Mary Frances said, that's newsworthy, and we have to just get in the habit, and I'm using the royal we for everybody, I think we have to get in the habit of when we do something new, something different, we expand some sort of service. Those things are important to let folks know because they are newsworthy. And again, it's kind of the antithesis of a lot of the news that we see these days. And I will simply close, because this is, yeah, I promised I would have closed 5 minutes ago, sorry about that. But I can't not emphasize enough how important it is to make relationships with the important folks in your community now. Do it now before you actually need something from them, because that's a lot more difficult. Build the relationship now and have it be an authentic relationship, not the phony baloney slap on the back, you know, that kind of relationship, with an authentic relationship, because when something does get difficult and you need help with something, or you're funding, the you know, the floor falls out, something breaks, you need somebody to make a donation, the authentic relationship will most likely bear fruit. The phony baloney stuff just doesn't.
So Mind's Eye made a big deal out of having an app. Mind's Eye app, find Mind's Eye app. We're on the opposite side of the state from each other there in Illinois and Kansas. I had 3 people call me like within that week and go, you guys have an app? Mind's Eye has an app. You guys have an app?
Yeah.
When are you getting your app? Mind's Eye has an app. I'm like, oh no, sorry. So thanks a lot.
Yeah, I didn't know if we're supposed to like suddenly mediate something here. Yes. Oh, I like your style. That's good.
Well, and the running for something email led to her coming into Iris as she was running for state representative. She lost. She lost, but she came to Iris. She was totally blown away by what was happening. And then her dad became one of our volunteers because of that. And then she won. And then...
See, what's interesting with Jen... she's also a professor at Drake University in their journalism department. But I think what's interesting is she ran the first time and she came in, so she has that relationship, and now that she's the minority leader in the House.
Boom, there's my money.
You've got somebody who most likely, because every politics is cyclical, in Iowa, it's gonna be a little wild, but cyclically, when her party is back in control, you've got somebody who's been there, who's a friend, who will forever remember the fact, oh my gosh, I could not make it to the international meeting, but you've got that authentic relationship, and that's what pays off. But it's a good, healthy, legitimate relationship too. And even if she was in a position where she could never really help us, just to have a good relationship with a good person has intrinsic value.
And then they invite Iris in to talk about accessible stoplights or whatever it might be.
And
exactly
that's,
what she
says. That's when they bring in Mary Frances.
Expert.
If you can believe this, as the expert.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, you guys want to hear from Jen? Quick, first of
all.
All
right.
Jim O'Brien.
Thank you.
Jim will be here all night, and the way he's made himself available to us has just been so generous. And while Lewis is finishing setting up, this is Jennifer Confers, who was supposed to be here with my badass Democrats yesterday. And it's just a coincidence they're all Democrats. Like I've mentioned, that was my senator. That's the people in my district just happened to be. Jen got a COVID. She was gonna come in a mask. She was negative, and then yesterday morning she got a fever. So she sent this.
We've all heard about COVID, but it's terrible, and it makes us change our plans at the last minute, and no one, especially me, likes that. So I want to take a quick moment to just welcome you all to the amazing state of Iowa, welcome you all to the amazing city of Des Moines, and most importantly, welcome you all to the community that is so well served by Iris. Iris has such important work, and one of my favorite things is knowing that when you're volunteering for Iris, when you're reading the paper, you're connecting people to the world around them. I worked in public television for 12 years, and nothing was more important to us than making sure people who couldn't get out to see the opera could enjoy the opera. People who couldn't travel the world could see the world. And that's what Iris does every single day. It helps people understand and connect to their local communities. This is such important, critical work, and it helps everyday Iowans and their lives one person at a time. It's so important, so critical, and I love Iris so much. Mary Frances is pretty amazing too, as you all know. I'm so sorry I can't be there with you, but know that we are so glad you're here, and we're so glad to get a chance to show off this amazing state, this amazing city, and the amazing Iris. This is an amazing service, and I'm honored to support it. Thanks everyone, have a great lunch. I'm so sorry I can't be there.
Okay, really? That's our House Minority Leader. And she knows people, and she's Drake, and she's off. I mean, that one email saying, hey, you wanna come in and do an interview, can lead. And then she said, when I get better, we'll have a beer. Can lead to friendships as well. So I need to take my daughter to a doctor's appointment. Amy Hatter will take it from here. Our vice chair, and I will see you guys at the game.